again. All right, this time we'll go ahead and dismiss the junior church. So if you're part of that, you can go ahead and leave. For the rest of us, if you'll go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 127. Psalm 127 this morning. Psalm 127. You find your place, go ahead and stand. Psalm 127 this morning. Psalm 127. Give everybody a chance to get there. All right. And let's begin reading. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning again, thanking you so much for your love for us. We thank you for how you reveal to us in the Word of God, again, how you have given us so much, and that there's so much for us to learn and to apply in our lives, and that would guide and direct us. Father, I think of the families that we have in our church today. I think of those that are raising children right now, Father. And this passage, again, reminds us that a house building is all about you, looking to you and trusting you for what you might do in our lives. And I pray this morning that you would guide and direct the next few moments, that you'd speak to our hearts, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, it's exciting to see new babies being born. It's a new life. There are new experiences. There are challenges to that. Of course, everything changes when you add a child to your family. Sometimes you think, well, no, not really, but yes, it does. It changes everybody's life. No longer is the baby that in that exalted position, but they're now not the baby anymore. And of course, Rebecca, if she was here, she'd say, I wish you had one more child. But anyway, things change. Your time changes. The things you do change. You are putting a new person in your family, a new personality. But there's a lot of responsibility that goes with that. And that responsibility is to train that child up. Again, God is the one who gives us the children that we have. And he allows us to have those children, but our responsibility is to train them up for him. As we saw in our passage, which we're not going to focus on today, in verse 3 where he says, Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. But we're going to spend most of our time, all of our time, in the first verse, the first phrase of that verse where it says, Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And as we look at this passage this morning, I've entitled this message, House Building is a Family Affair. Now, for the Christian, we understand that we are part of the family of God. And that is our family affair, is that we look to God and we trust Him for this opportunity to build a house. We think about house building. Sometimes we think of the building as a house. We think of the physical structure that we live in. Thought Brandy was going to preach my message this morning. Good intro. But it's not the house, is it? Of course, every house has a foundation. You have materials. You have to choose those to build with. And of course, Mike is very familiar with this. The concrete, the block, the wood, the bricks, or the vinyl, the nails, the glue, and shingles, and on it goes. Lots of things to build a house. But today, we're not going to talk about building a house. When we talk about that, I'm going to get Mike up here, and he'll tell us all about that. But we're going to talk about what it means to have God build a house. And that's what we want. We want God's hand in the house building that we're doing today. We're not talking about the physical structure that we live in, but we're talking about what the Lord wants to do for us. Our text says, Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You think about the church. this morning you're sitting at Calvary Bible Church. You're sitting in a nice pew, comfortable pew, not like the old times when they had just the wood pews. Some of you might remember those days. But we're sitting in this building. This building is not the church. This building is a place we come to meet. Because the church is every individual that's born again in this room. That is the church. And just as that is true, so is building a house for the Lord and allowing Him to work in our lives. And just as the Lord has a plan, we also have to have a plan as well. Or the house has a plan, we have to have a plan. And that is God's Word is our plan. And Psalm 18:30 says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust Him." And that's where we want our lives to be, is right in the center of the will of God, knowing that He is building and working in our lives, and He's the one that is taking care of this house, if you will, this home that we are building. And of course, it begins with the foundation, as every house does. Turn to Matthew. Take your place here, and you can hold it there if you want. Turn to Matthew, though, for a second. Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus is speaking here, and He's talking about foundations. And again, it reminds us that we, as we look about building our home, we want to look to the Word of God and find out how God wants us to build a home, how He wants us to structure that home. What is the foundation of that home? And what are we supposed to use to build upon that foundation? In Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 24. Jesus talks about these two different foundations, and everybody is going to choose one of those foundations to build their home on. And verse 24 says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." And He says, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." And so here we see that He gives us two choices for a foundation. It's either the rock, or in this case, it's the sand. This morning, I want to again encourage you to know that the rock is Jesus Christ that it's talking about. That is the foundation that we want to build our lives on, our homes upon. Why? Because that is the foundation that is sure, that is the foundation that will stand, that is the foundation that will last throughout eternity. The other will not. And so we get to choose which one of those foundations we want to build upon. Paul, when he was speaking to the Corinthians, and we looked at this verse this morning, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, he says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." That is the foundation. That is where the rubber meets the road. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, if you would, in your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 11. We are reminded that this is the faith chapter. It talks about those men and women of the Old Testament that had faith in God and how God used them and provided for them and met their needs. But I want you to look at verse 8. It's talking about Abraham here. In verse 8 of chapter 11, it says, "By faith." And that's where things begin, isn't it? By faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now that's faith. You're going out, you don't know where you're going, but you're just trusting God. That's faith, okay? In verse 9 it says, "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." And that's the foundation we want today in our lives. We want the foundation who the maker is God. And that is Jesus Christ. When we understand that and we apply that in our lives, we come to that point that we understand there's a relationship that needs to be had here. And it's not just knowing about God, it's not just knowing about Jesus Christ, but it's putting your faith and trust in Him and believing with all your heart that He died for you, specifically you. Of course, the whole world but for me. And when I could understand that, that it was for me because I was lost in my sin and Jesus died for me, I could really trust Him with all my heart. Now, am I perfect in my trust? No, because if I was, I could move mountains. I'm not there yet. Still working on that. But that's the faith we want, is it not? And so we learn to trust God by faith, first off, for salvation. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." And of course, we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I've said that verse many, many times lately, but that's something we need to go back to, because where does our faith come from? Right here. It's the very Word of God that gives us the faith to live the daily life that we live, to understand God's plan for us. You know, the world throws a lot of different things out there, and they have a lot of different ideas, whether it's Dr. Spock or whoever's the guru today, about raising children and families. You need to be careful. It may sound good, but if it's not biblical, it's not right. And so that's why we want to always look to God, look in His Word, and find out how He wants us to do it. And every father, every mother, every child has to make this decision on their own. And it's the most important decision you can make. I can't make this decision for my children, but I can help guide them in that decision. That's why it's so important for us to be true to the Word of God, to be the examples that our children can see God. Because if we're not willing to be the examples, it's like the parent who says, "Look, don't smoke." And the kid says, "Well, you smoke. Well, don't do what I do. Do what I say." It doesn't work. We have to do what this says to emulate that to our kids so they can see Christ and understand that He's real. But once we have that foundation, of course, just like any builder, once he lays the concrete, lays the block, then we have to start building on that foundation. We start adding materials to it. Go ahead and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We read this passage this morning because it kind of goes along with this message about house building, and we're talking about this in the terms of the spiritual sense of how to build a foundation, how to build that house. And in verse 12, Paul is writing, he says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation," foundation of Jesus Christ, "gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble," he's saying whatever materials you use to build upon, they're going to be tested and they're going to be tried. And that's important that we try to choose the right materials, because the ones that will not last will fail. And so as we raise our families and try to raise our children, we want to choose the best and not that which is going to be ineffective, not that which is not going to last. Verse 13 says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest," or declared, "for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built there upon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So the key here is that we need to use the right materials to build this home. We call this a Christian home. And a lot of people say, "I'm a Christian and I was raised in a Christian home," but if you really look at their lives and look at what they've done with their lives, you realize there were some things that were missing. We've all made mistakes, but some have just not even tried to find out what God wants them to do in their life and what God wants them to know and understand. They just, "Well, I got saved," or "I joined the church," or "I was part of this religion," or whatever their thought process is as being a Christian in our society today. They think that's all it takes. Well, it takes hard work to know God's will. It takes us to know God in an intimate way, to know God's will. And you're not going to get all of that at church. You come to church maybe 4 hours a week. That's not very much when you got a 168-hour week. And so it's important that we are seeking God to find out what it is that we're to build with. What materials should we use? What does God want us to do? Peter wrote this in 2 Peter 3:18. He's talking about building. He says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. It's actually looking at the Word of God and understanding who God is. God, that holy God, that almighty God, that God in heaven has reached down, sent His Son to die on a cross because He loves us that much. And then He's given us the plan to build upon that foundation. In Matthew 22, verse 37, as Jesus was talking to some lawyers, He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." That is really a magnificent and a very difficult thing to do. That's a task that we're going to work at all our lives to do that. And it's not easy. And of course, God is going to give us the grace. He's going to give us the strength. He's going to continue to lead us, even though we don't make it all the way, or we trip up, or we fall. He is always going to continue to be there to help us to learn more. There's always setbacks, but we keep focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." I looked up that word diligently. It means to search out. It means to crave. To investigate. Demand. I want to know something from You, God. Please, I need to know something. And so God wants us to search Him out. The Bible teaches us He'll change us. I don't know, you probably remember the time you got saved, and you probably remember the path you were on, and you probably remember as you started growing in grace how things started changing in your lives. Maybe it was the places you went to, maybe it was the friends you had, maybe it was the things you used to do. But things started changing. And why? Because you started reading the Word of God and you want to be true to God. Yes, you liked your friends, you liked your family, you liked all those things. But more importantly to you was being true to God. And He started changing your minds about things. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, you know these verses. Paul writes, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And He says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It's like taking the Word of God, and as you read it, it's, as I shared, I think, with some of the boys or some of the kids at VBS, it's a mirror. And as I read it, it just shows me who I am. And I see myself in a different light. You know, it's easy to think highly of myself, which sometimes I do. That's called pride, isn't it? But then when I go to the Word of God, I realize, boy, I got a lot more to learn. There's a lot more to do. Now, He also, which is a wonderful thing, if you're doing things right for the Lord, He tells you that. That's why it's important to be in here, because He also affirms. He says, "Keep going. Keep doing. You're right on track." Those are the words I like to hear. I don't like to hear, "Whoop, you got to back up. You got to start over. You got to do this. There's something here that you need to do." But all of it is good. And it's good for us. And that's what God will do as we study the Word of God. He'll start renewing our mind. And once we start thinking about something and we look at the Word of God and the Spirit of God that's inside of us, we'll have a desire to do that. Because we really want to please God. Why? Because He sent Jesus to die for us. He loved us before we ever loved Him. And now I love Him. And I'm striving to love Him more every day. Not succeeding completely, but working at it. And He's changing the way I think. He changes the way I see things. He has become the filter on how I live. On the things that are on TV, He's the filter for that. I look to Him. See, is this okay? Is this okay to watch? Is this going to be edifying? Is this going to be something that's going to glorify You? All of my life, that's what I'm trying to do. Am I perfect? Am I succeeding completely? No. Many times I have to come back and ask the Lord to forgive me when He reveals to me that I've done something that wasn't right. It's that relationship. It's that relationship the husbands and wives have talking to each other. It's the same kind of relationship, only a greater relationship with God. We can talk to Him and pour our heart to Him, and He's listening. And then He can tell us through His Word. He'll come back and say yes, or no, or maybe, or He'll reveal things to us. And as we continue to strive and cry out to God, He continues to answer prayer. I'm amazed how I see Him answer prayer. I'm spending a lot more time in prayer than I probably have ever done in my life. No, I am not sitting down at the couch on my knees and sitting there and saying, "Dear Lord," and no, but all the time my thoughts are toward Him. First thing in the morning I do now is, "Dear Lord, thank You for this day. Lord, I just need to know what You want me to do today. Will You show me?" And He says, "Yeah, go to the Word of God. I'll show you." And He does. Now, there are things I already know, of course. And that's why hiding God's Word in our heart is so important, because there are a lot of things we already know to do that God has revealed to us. But these are all important. It's talking about building this home. It requires strength that I don't have, and I could dare say many of us would agree. Colossians 1:10 and 11 says that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And He says, strengthen with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. My energy is not endless. And I do feel like I'm older than 60. I'm telling you the truth. But you know what? Paul said it best when he said it in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." If God has laid something on your heart to do, He will give you the ability to do it and accomplish it. And that's what He wants us to know. He's there for us. So as we try to build our families, to raise our children, even though we will fail, it's already a guarantee. Why? Because we have that sin nature, but yet we can go to God and say, "God, I failed. Would You help me?" You know what? He says, "Sure, I'll help you. You can count on me. I'll take care of you. I'll guide you. I'll put you on the right place." Turn to Psalm 37 for a second. Psalm 37 kind of gives us an outline here, and it helps us again to be mindful of the things of God and the ways of God that will guide and direct our steps. And he starts off with fret. He says, "Fret not." Because I don't know about you, but that's usually where I get hung up, is all the fretting and the worrying and the things going on. I got to do something here. I got to do something here. I'm not saying we don't do our part, but we don't have to fret about it. We just have to be obedient to God and let Him take care of the frets. And He promises He will. And that's the opposite of trust, is it not? He says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." You know, often that's what happens when we fret. We're disobeying God, because we're not trusting. And it's easy to, instead of saying, "I'm worried about something," well, "I'm concerned." That's that Christian word sometimes we use. "I'm concerned about that." I do it all the time, because I don't want to say "I'm worried." You know, you don't want to say "I'm worried." "I'm concerned." Well, that's fretting, isn't it? Same thing. And I understand a desire that you want things to turn out right. But when we give it to God, it always turns out the way He wants it to in our life. Maybe not in somebody else's, but in my life, if I give it to Him, it's going to turn out His way. Because I'm going to trust Him for the outcome. And that's not always easy to do. Because his outcome and my outcome most often are different, are they not? So we want to build a house for the Lord. It's more than sticks and bricks. Those happen to rhyme. Did you catch that? Sticks and bricks. It's a place of relationship. It's a place to raise a family. The word house in our text has a sense of family. Our families will only succeed if they're built upon God's word. Joshua, when he's at the end of his life in chapter 24, verse 15, says, And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a commitment. And we all want to say that and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It's easy to say the words, but putting it in practice means I'm going to trust God because I can't do it. So as we build this family, let's begin with some relationships that are important. Turn to the book of Ephesians. The first relationship, obviously, is with Christ. We've given that picture, and it's a picture that many of you remember probably, but of the triangle where God is in the point of the upper part of the triangle, and then you have the husband on one side and the wife on the other, and each one has an independent relationship with God. And as each one is looking to God, they grow and start going up that triangle, if you will. And if both of them are growing, they're both going up, getting closer to God, who's in the apex, I guess. And then they're also getting closer to each other. Because way down here at the bottom, like this, right? And then you go up. And what happens a lot of times is maybe the wife grows and the husband doesn't. What happens there? Wife gets closer to God. Husband is farther from the wife. And still away from God. Vice versa. So we both, husbands and wives, want to grow and get closer to God. So then we'll have that family that God wants us to have. We'll have that relationship with each other. And it's spelled out in the Bible, that relationship. It is not an easy relationship. And of course, back in Genesis, he told us some of those things. That the man and the woman were both created in the image of God. Both have dominion over the earth. He made Eve a helpmeet, which means counterpart to man. And the Bible tells us the two, or the twain, became one flesh. But then, since the fall, things were changed. Responsibilities were changed. Man's responsibility was to take care of his wife, to work hard, and to provide. And of course, death came since that time. And of course, woman, she was supposed to be under her husband. She was going to have difficulty in childbearing. And of course, we know that's true today, those things are. But yet, because we're still in this condition of this sin, there's still a battle. There's a battle over the relationship. There's a battle over the God-given roles of men and women. Today, we have so many folks out there saying, everybody's equal and everybody ought to have the same responsibilities. That doesn't say that in the Word of God. If it did, I'd say, amen, let's go that way. But it doesn't teach that. It teaches that the husband role is to be the leader. In Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 22 through 23. He starts off, well, verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So we're to submit to each other. But then in verse 22, he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. That's specific. That doesn't mean you submit to every man. You submit to your husband. That is what the Bible teaches. In verse 23, he says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So he shows us and demonstrates headship there, the relationship. The husband is over the wife. Christ is over both of them. And that's the way he designed it. And there was a purpose behind that. Now, does that mean that the woman is inferior to the man? No. Some people like to think that, but that's not true. They're different roles that God has assigned and given. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, it says, And speaking of deacons, let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children in their own house as well. Now, we look at those qualifications. Those are the qualifications for every Christian. It's not just the deacons. Deacons are chosen out of the congregation, lay people, okay? And so it's God's desire for every Christian or every husband to be in that position. And he's responsible and going to be held responsible for that position. If he's not doing his job, he's going to be held accountable for that. So husbands are to love their wives. It's not just the love that we think about, the eros love or the phileo love. It goes a lot deeper than that. It's the agape love. That love you're willing to sacrifice your life for your wife. That you're going to take care of her. You're going to meet her needs. No matter what difficulties come into our lives, the husband's responsibility is to take care of his wife. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 for a second. Would you look at verse 4? And again, these things that we're sharing, they're not easy to do. In fact, I think they're pretty much impossible without the love of Christ in our lives. Very hard to do. But we do it because we love the Lord and we trust Him. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 says, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil." Boy, every one of those I failed in. I just went through. "Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth." And when we get closer to Christ, we understand what that charity is. We understand what that, how that applies, because that's how God loves us. With that everlasting love. And that's something we're trying to work in our lives and understand. And we can only do that by the Word of God and His love for us. Yes, we know the wife's role is to submit to her husband. And many times it mentions that. Ephesians 5, we've already read. 1 Peter 3:1 says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." In Titus 2:5 it says, "To be discreet." That word discreet means to be safe in mind, self-controlled, chaste. That means clean, innocent, modest, perfect. "Keepers at home" means to stay at home, is what it says there. It says, "Good, obedient to their own husbands." And why? "That the word of God be not blasphemed," it said. Now, this doesn't mean, again, that the wife is not equal to the husband. They are equal, they just have different roles. And God's ways and God's role are perfect. Now, are any of us in that position? No. Not really. We struggle within those roles, do we not? I do. I think we all do. And we're going to struggle. That's why it's a growing process. That's why we continue to work at it. That's why we strive to make things better. We look to God and look to His Word and try to trust Him for these things. When I do that which is wrong, I go to God and say, "Please forgive me and help me do that which is right." Paul said that in Romans chapter 7. But this is the only way that we're going to succeed. And we need to know that our children know this. When I make a mistake, they need to know I made the mistake. Not take the rug and pick it up and shovel it under the rug. Why? Because I just taught them. That's the way you deal with things. And that's why we fail sometimes. Is because of who we are. The Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he shall not depart from it." That's true. But because we still have sin in our lives, the very thing we have to fight, those things come out in our lives, and our kids see those things. And so, as the old saying, the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. It's true, for the most part. That's why we need to repeatedly go back to God and ask Him to help us, to strengthen us, to be able to accomplish this. It's a big mission. And today we're living in such a society that it's very hard to do because there's so many things that want to draw us away from the things of God, want to draw our attention away from those, and our kids follow in lockstep. You know, it's very hard to be able to raise your children in the church and see them succeed afterwards. If you were to look at percentages, which I haven't, I would tell you in America itself that very few children probably follow their parents in serving the Lord. When you look at the percentages, there's so much out there that is trying to divide and conquer our families. And as we continue to study the Word of God, we look to God for these things. We need to build those relationships that are godly relationships within our home. You know, parents need to be on the same page. It's happened to me many times. I'm sure maybe it's happened to you. Maybe not. But the child would go ask mom for something. Mom says, no. Come and ask dad. Say, oh yeah, that's fine. Without consulting mom, of course. And what did we just do? We sent a mixed message. We just told the child, go to dad. He'll give you everything he wants. Don't go to mom. We want to be on the same page. And that means it takes time to sit down and figure out what's right and wrong. What are we going to do and what we're not going to do? What are the rules of the house? So we can be consistent. Consistency is the key to all of this. And as we raise our families, we want to raise them that they'll be able to follow God. This morning is a challenge for all of us. So, well, I don't have any young children. Well, you got grandchildren probably. They look up to grandparents. They see what grandparents do too. It's important for all of us to not give up, to continue to hold the path that God's called us to live, and to trust God for our families. Because who better to take care of your children than God? I think He can do it better than I can. So this morning, as we allow the Lord to build our house, remember the key to success is looking to God and studying the Word of God. Joshua said this in Joshua 1:8. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It's really learning God's way and doing it His way. And it's a lifetime of learning. You see, I'm not capable, but God is. The psalmist wrote, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We need to let God build our homes and our families and trust Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for the Word of God. And as we look back and look at our families, many of us have already raised our children. There have been a lot of things we've done right. And I'm sure there's been things we've done wrong. Father, I pray that we, as those who have already raised our families, are able and ready to help others who are raising their children now, that we might be supportive of them and to encourage them and to help them to know there are pitfalls ahead as well as the blessings, and that we might be able to help and encourage. Again, remembering that Your Word is true and we can trust it no matter what. Father, have Your way in each one of our lives today, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.